Mini episode 422 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Taking a look here, I know that you've been breaking down on your program the NFL schedule coming out this week. And again, everyone was waiting to see what was going to happen opening night, because it's a tradition for the champions to open at home, at least generally. It didn't happen for Denver or for Baltimore last year. They had to play in Denver, but generally at home. Seattle, Green Bay being the opener. Good move by the NFL, do you think, to hold off on the Denver and San Francisco games? What do you think about that as a season tone setter?
I think it's appealing. I mean, I think the fact that you've got yourself Aaron Rodgers, who we missed for a good chunk of the year last year, I think what's the biggest thing I took out of this whole schedule thing was the fact that the NFL doesn't trust the Seahawks to play home games in prime time because they're concerned Seattle's going to blow everybody out. I think that's comical. I think that's flattering. And I think that's also kind of strange all in one breath. I mean, that's, I think, the only – that home opener that you just mentioned is the only time they're playing a prime time home game, which is insane for a team that right now is the most popular team in the NFL as far as the star power that they have and the fact that they're defending Super Bowl champions and all that. They play in a building that's become famous because of their dominant home field advantage, yet the NFL's afraid to put them in their own building because of the fact that they're so good. But I like the opener, and the truth is, you can give me any game on that Thursday night. I'm sorry, you can give me the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Buffalo Bills on opening night. You're giving me real football for the first time in how many months? I'm ready. Seriously, you can give me the Cleveland Browns, Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm in. Sign me up. Let's play the game. No offense to the Browns, by the way.
Browns, Jaguars. As a Browns fan, I say, hold on a second there. But, no, I hear what you're saying. I mean, it'll be great to see it back. It'll be great to see a game of that caliber, and no question about it. The whole thing about Seattle with the home games, is it a little bit still, and I ask you this as somebody working in the media capital of the world, is there still a little bit of fear on the NFL's part of, well, yes, they are the Super Bowl champions, but they're still a small market team, and woe is us if it's not somebody from a metropolis who's dominating? Is there a little bit of that media fear left on the part of the NFL?
There shouldn't be. The NFL is so king that I don't think the media market should matter, and I don't think it matters. And I think the Seahawks, on a lot of levels, are one of the most appealing teams in the NFL to watch. A, to see if they can do it again, the personalities they have on their team, the quarterback. So I think in the NFL, more than any other sport, I don't think the media market really matters. I think it's all about the sport. It's about the shield, as they like to say. It's more about that than anything else. And I think Seattle's an appealing team. So I don't think that the media market they play in affects them at all or should affect them at all.
No, it definitely shouldn't. And again, we had talked about this going into the season here, the sense that the Seattle and San Francisco was going to be the rivalry of the decade. It certainly played out that way this past year. And again, probably the most thrilling NFL game of the year, that NFC Championship game. And it made up for, I'm sure, what was a lackluster Super Bowl. But the way that they did it, where they first face each other on Thanksgiving night, obviously that's going to be a hell of a crescendo for the day. Then meeting again 17 days later. Your thoughts on not spacing that out a little bit more? I mean, I'm sure the NFL thinks they have a plan there, but I'm just not quite sure myself what it might be.
I think, if anything, and it seems like there's a lot of divisional opponents that play, they don't play until late in the year. I think the Jets kind of do that with the Patriots a little bit. They did that with actually it's with the Dolphins, and they did that last year as well. I think, if anything, mm-hmm. and I don't know if this is a stretch or me just trying to figure it out, is that Thanksgiving night game, which is, I mean, incredibly appealing. With that being the first time they're playing all year, maybe that adds to the intrigue that for the first time we get to see that rematch on Thanksgiving, which is certainly one of the days they want to get a huge number for. So maybe holding that off until then adds to it. I'm not too sure what their thinking is, but I do agree with you on that rivalry right now is fast becoming the best in football, and it's probably going to remain the best in football for a very long time in that division.
You got to think so. Now, that's, of course, assuming that everything can be held together in San Francisco. And again, I guess the general manager was trying to tamp down any of the rumors about dissatisfaction with Jim Harbaugh, but very similar to in the NBA right about now, where if Indiana actually was insane enough to fire Frank Vogel if they don't make out of the first round, which I don't believe for a minute, well, how insane is it going to be in San Francisco there if there becomes a market for Jim Harbaugh, or if he is perhaps a tradable asset, as the rumors have gone?
You know, when that first came out, my reaction was, that's got to be the most insane thing I've heard. I mean, here's a guy that is one of the most elite head coaches in the sport. He's an amazing head coach. The Niners have had great success. What the hell are they thinking? But when you look at his personality, maybe he does have the personality that kind of it expires, if you will, that it expires with players, that he's not the kind of guy that can coach a team for 10 years. And the fact that there's already rumblings about unhappiness there and the fact that he is a tradable asset, it's stunning. But then when you think about it, maybe he's just not the type of coach that can last a long period of time. And that certainly puts a chink in the armor as far as the Niners being, you know, on the par of the Seattle Seahawks for a bunch of years of being arch rivals. And that would certainly put a big hindrance in the Niners' success. But it's odd to think about, because he's, from a success standpoint, if you look at what he's accomplished in his first few years as a head coach, it's almost unmatched when you look at how much success he's had. So maybe that personality is too strong for a lot of these players to deal with for a long period of time.
It might very well be, and I go back to a conversation that we've had on the program previous to the season, having Rick Bucher on and doing a radio in the Bay Area. I told him that I picked the 49ers to win the Super Bowl this past year, and he said, well, gee, that would mean 3 NFC championship games in a row, and that's really unlikely. And I said to him, I said, I know, I'm really going against history to say that. Now, they didn't win the Super Bowl, of course, Evan, but they made it back there again. I mean, the magnitude of making it back there repeatedly, and in his first 3 years as head coach, that perfectly exemplifies what you're talking about.
It's an amazing accomplishment. Unfortunately, we live in a society where you got to win it all. You got to win a championship. I mean, I remember living in New York, the Giant fans who love to take shots at the Jets said after Rex Ryan's third year, yeah, I know in the first 2 years he was an AFC title game, but he didn't win anything. He's a loser. What did he win? What does it really matter? So I think, unfortunately, you've got to win it all, and he hasn't done it yet. But when you think about the success that team has had under him, it's really unbelievable. And any team that's able to acquire his services, if indeed they fact move on from him, and if it's your team, which I guess they were rumored to try to be doing, I mean, I'd be ecstatic, because the success he's had over a short period of time is really incredible.
It has been amazing. It's been a tremendous run that he's had, and it remains to be seen if he'll burn himself out before they win a Super Bowl at some point. And that is going to be one of the foremost stories in the league, obviously, in the next year or two. You talk about an amazing ride to the top.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.